Record. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Antonio T. Smith Jr., and I present to you now Shannon R. Clark, Director of Counseling, Transformation of Coaching, and the ATSJR Company. Shannon, you now have the floor. Wait a minute, let me unmute you. There you go.
I had to unmute. Can everyone hear me okay? There's no echo or anything?
No echo, you're just fine.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk Tuesday. I want to thank you all for joining us on this evening. If you're on the podcast, thank you for following the number one podcast in America, and thank you for listening to us. I am just going to share with you for a few moments on how non-mediocre you are. Mediocrity is a cycle, a vortex, a platoon that I was in for a long time. And I noticed that a lot of people exist there. And I want to share with you a few tidbits so you can know that there's nothing, absolutely nothing mediocre about you. A lot of times we hear people say, I'm different. Are you different? Or are you indecisive and distracted? Sometimes indecisiveness and being overwhelmed with distractions will keep you in the circular vortex of mediocrity. That's what I noticed that was going on with me. I couldn't make a decision about anything. And so I made decisions not to make decisions. And that kept me being average. And I was distracted by everything, had my hands on everybody else's things except for the things that would catapult me into my dreams. That kept me mediocre as well. Another thing that I want you to realize is that there is a such thing as too much social media. Some of you are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and whatever else so much that you are plummeting yourself into mediocrity. Half of those people are not your friends, and you behave in a manner that is not you just so that you can get a heart, a thumb, or an animated face. That's living a life. That's being mediocre. That's average, because 9 times out of 10, you're not even really doing what they liking or loving. You're just saying it so you can get some instant gratification. Because when I enjoyed being average, instant gratification was enough for me. I'd be at home in my bed, posting that I was going to go get my doctorate. 65 people will like it, 35 people will love it, and I'm done. Didn't have to fill out no application. Didn't have to do any coursework. Didn't have to get a degree. Because the gratification of the buttons was enough for mediocre me. However, I am so much more than mediocre, and there is nothing mediocre about me, and there's nothing mediocre about you either. I want you to use your imagination with me for a second. I want you to imagine, and yes, I'm going to have my eyes closed, but I want you to imagine that you are 6 feet under dirt in a pine box with a window in it, buried, and you're alive. Let that sit there for a minute. You're in a box 6 feet underground, and there's a window. You can see, but you're buried. There are no nails in this box. There are no, matter of fact, you have a shovel next to you, and you have wiggle room. It's not even a tight box, but you're just laying there looking up. After a few moments, you're gonna start to want to get out of there. That's exactly how your dreams feel on the inside of you when you're mediocre. They're laying on the inside of you. They have everything around them that they need to get out of you. But because you choose to remain average, you leave your dreams fighting to get out on the inside of you. Can you imagine what, did that sink into your imagination, what it feels like to be underground, under some dirt, and you just want to get out, but your hands won't do what your brain telling your hands to do, grab the shovel, push the top off the box, and start digging your way up. That's how your dreams feel when you're mediocre. Because when you know that you're living a mediocre life, you know that there's more on the inside of you. You know that there's more for you to do. However, you're so comfortable with being average that you just allow your dreams to suffocate on the inside. And the reason why you can't dig them out is because you lack self-discipline. Brian Tracy has a quote. He says, without self-discipline, a person with every blessing of background, education, and opportunity will seldom rise above mediocrity. We struggle in a state of being average. We wiggle in the middle forever because we lack the discipline it takes to be on top. We're funny. We have too much pride to be on the bottom. We have not enough discipline to be on the top, but we have just enough skill to mellow in the middle. There's no abundance in the middle. There's no abundance in mediocrity. Without self-discipline, no other principles in your life will work. You'll never be abundant in your finances. You'll never be abundant in your time management. You'll never be successful without self-discipline. Anything that you wish to require outside of mediocrity, anything that you wish to acquire outside of mediocrity, it's going to require consistency. And the only way to be consistent is to be disciplined. The only way to be disciplined is to have the courage to do so. Maya Angelou says that without courage, without the virtue of courage, you can't really practice any other virtue. That would lead me to believe that without self-discipline and courage, you're stumped. You're stumped. I wanted to share with you something that helped me this week, and it was stemming off of Tempest's wonderful coaching call on last week. I was led to study again the law of expectation. And if you're not familiar with it, it says basically 85% of what we expect to happen will happen. And so what that told me is that I could look at my life and I could see what's happening, and 85% of that is what I expected. So if I am living below my potential, if I am stuck and not living my dream, if I am constantly in a state of negative emotion and negative thought, the hard pill to swallow is that I expect it to be there. Because if I were to expect better, then this law states that I would get better. I would receive better. What we expect becomes our reality. So if you expect mediocrity, if you expect average, if you expect comfort, if you expect just to mellow in the middle, then if you expect it enough, 85% like, then that's what you'll get. The law of expectation plays no favorites. If you expect a bunch of negative, then that's what you'll get. If you expect a bunch of positive, then that's what you'll get. That's what you'll get. So, before I let you go, what do I do, Shannon? What do I do if I realize, yeah, I just might be average, and yes, I just may be a little mediocre? What is it that I can do to set me above the rest, to have me get in the realm of abundance and prosperity that I need to be in? What is it that I can do? You know, I know that I'm average. I know that I could do more. I know that I've been saying what I wanted to do for years and I haven't done any of it. What is it that I can do since you're telling me that there's nothing mediocre about me? Okay, so first, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, and these are skills and tidbits that worked for me. always connect. Always connect. I can remember, and I've had friends and clients that despise their jobs, despise their families, despise certain things around them. Wherever you have to be at this moment, always connect. There is always a lesson. There is always a lesson at the place of employment that you're in. There's always a lesson within your familial relationships. There's always a lesson in whatever is going on around you. Now, am I telling you to gravitate and to cling and to? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you to make connections. Because if you get skilled in making connections, then eventually you're going to connect to whatever's going to pull you out of mediocrity. My mastermind team, the leader of my mastermind team, I met at church at a denominational meeting. I had gotten to the point where I was kind of at my wit's end of denominational church meetings, but I met the very one that would pull me to my potential at one of those meetings because I utilized the skill of always connect. It was not an easy thing to do, but the connection was made nonetheless. Yes, I'm talking about Antonio. Anybody that knows Antonio knows that it's touch and go with the connection because But the next one is don't blame anybody. Mediocre people blame everybody else for their mediocrity. Blame everybody else for everything that's going on. I can't do this because they doing that. I can't do that because he did this. Don't blame anyone. Catch this. Generally, everybody you know, every single person you know, they are doing the best they can with what they have. You don't get to blame them. You do not get to blame them. Mediocrity blames. Don't do that. You don't get to blame them. Number three, work hard. Work hard. In that picture that I got you to imagine of you being underground, do you know how hard it is to dig up? First of all the dirt is going to be coming down into your face. It's very hard to dig up. You have to work hard to dig up. There's a reason why I didn't have you imagine you were on top of a mound of dirt. It's harder to be underneath a mound of dirt because you have to be strategic and you have to use more work more effort and more force to get from underground. When you're really trying to live above the mediocre life, when you're really trying to live in abundance, when you're really trying to be abnormal, when you're really trying to be what everybody looks to instead of what people look through, then you have to be sure that you're putting in the work, the genuine work, not the mediocre work. Look, mediocre me, I worked. I did a whole lot of work. Every time you saw me, I was so tired. But this is what I did. I did just enough to be average. I did just enough to fulfill the expectations of those who had expectations of me because I had no expectations of myself. The only thing I expected me to do was be who I needed to be to everybody around me. Because by doing that, I didn't have to focus on how average and how impoverished I was. But when I was ready to come out, I had to grab that shovel, I had to break through that window, and I had to dig my way up. And it is one of the hardest things I've ever done. But mediocre me, I am no more. I am no more. The next thing, you have to be kind. You have to be kind. And you may ask, why is she saying be kind? You know, of course I'm gonna be kind. I can only be who I am, and transparent is who I am. Once I broke out and I started digging my way up, there was some resentment that built up in me for people that I realized kept throwing dirt on top of me because they needed me to stay in that box. They needed my dreams to stay in that box, not knowing that that's what they needed. They were doing the best they could with what they had, but I resented it. And so I wasn't always kind. When I left people, they didn't feel good after I left them. And so in order for me to not be mediocre, in order for me to be the abundant person, in order for me to be that positive person, in order for me to be that helper, that nurturer, that comforter, I had to forgive. I had to forgive and I had to be kind. And I had to start with me. I had to forgive me. I had to be kind to me. And once I began doing that, that took me out of that mediocre vortex I talked about. And that placed me in a better position to be kind and forgiving of others. And so you always have to be kind. I believe that's the last thing. I'm going to give you some questions that you need to ask yourself. Let's see. Yes. So, all right. Once you realize that you're ready to come out, you have to have a plan. You have to know what it is you want to do. You have to be specific about it. And I want to give you a series of questions. I think you should write some of them down, because if you don't know the answer to them, then you are definitely living below your potential. And these will be, there's a bunch of them. If you want to know all the questions, you can reach out and I can send them or something like that. I'm not going to ask all of them. And they're very general. Once I ask you about five of them, you'll be able to create the rest of them. But they are answers that you need. They are questions that you need to have genuine answers to. Because people that live an average lifestyle, they don't answer these questions genuinely. When I ask them, we could probably give you their answers. We could collectively as a group answer these questions for the average person. But a person with real dreams, real goals, and real vision, we have specific answers to these questions. So here are a few. Where do I want to live? City, country, apartment, house? What does it look like? How much money do I want to make? What am I going to spend it on? What do I want to do at work? How many hours? Do I want to be my own boss? How much effort am I willing to invest in that? How do I want to spend my free time? What new habits do I want to have? What habits would I like to break? How do I want to spend my days? Make a daily schedule starting with the morning routine. What new things do I want to have in my life? How many times and for how long do I want to travel each year? Where do I want to go? Do you hear those types of questions? Do you have answers to those types of questions? Those are the kind of questions that you need to answer, and you need to expect that the answers that you give yourself are going to happen, and you need to know that the answers are inside of you. They're inside of your dream. So as I come to a close, I hope this has been helpful. I hope that you were able to get something from it. And ultimately, what I want you all to get is that you were not born, you were not meant to exist in pieces. You were not meant to exist in a shattered state of being. But brokenness is sometimes required. Sometimes we have to be broken down in order to be put back together again. And it's not so much to be put back together again as it is we have to put ourselves back together again. We have to do that work. The fault comes when we break and we look to all of these outside sources to put us back together again, and we never feel like our authentic selves because we didn't have a hand in the work. We allowed other people in their belief systems and how they felt like we should be built and made up. We allowed that to create us. And that will always keep you average. And that will always keep you mediocre. You have to have your own hands on your own pieces, putting yourself back together again. The world doesn't need a new you. The world needs you to work on your pieces. Because you broken and put back together again is so much more beautiful than a new you that someone else will create. We don't need anything new. Everything we are, our entire being, is on the inside of us. We don't need to recreate anything. You need to take the pieces out of the box, and you need to put them back together again. You need to put them back together again. My name is Shannon R. Clark. I am a transformational coach with the ATS Junior Companies. I am a Les Brown certified speaker trainer coach. I am a mother, sister, and friend, and I am yours in light and love. I have enjoyed speaking with you on this evening, and thank you for tuning in. I am done.
I need some clapping effects in the people. Yes. Okay. So go ahead. Let me unmute everybody. There it is. They're clapping. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I can't see nobody because I got notes all over my screen.
They are clapping. They are clapping. Can we, hold on, let me unmute one more time. Let's see. Okay, y'all are unmuted. Can we clap one more time? There it is. Yes. Yes. Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay. Yes. Okay. I want to do this one differently. Shane, I'm going to ask you a question. I just unmuted you. I just muted everybody, but I'm going to ask you a question. You said something in your call that's so powerful. And before we get to the Q&A, I'm going to make this start the Q&A off because I don't want anybody to miss the liberation that you gave to them. You told everybody that they don't get to complain about the people in their lives because the people in their lives are doing the best they can with what they have. I want you to, I can already feel some disagreement. I want you to briefly explain that and then open that up for Q&A, and then that will most certainly start your Q&A. You have the floor.
Okay, certainly, I understand the question. I understand the dilemma. I believe I might have walked out of a class the night that this was laid on me.
You sure did.
because I could not accept that I had to accept the fact that everyone in my life had done the best they could with what they had. And then I had to turn the camera around on myself. And I had to look at myself and the kind of parent, that's what helped me, the kind of parent I had been. My son is 8. And I haven't always had him in the best situations. I haven't always had him in the best circumstances. He's actually been in danger with me at times. However, I was doing the best that I could with what I had.
Wow.
With the awareness that I had, with the hurt and the pains that I had, with the mental state that I had, I was doing the best that I could. And so when I turned the camera on myself and I said, self, you were not perfect. Mm. You've done many things that were imperfect in your perfect state of awareness. And so it had me really just point the fingers at myself and say, I did the best I could with what I had. If my son came and sat in my face at 28, 29, 30 years old and say, Mama, I remember this and I remember that. How could you do this? How could you do that? You know what I'm gonna tell him? Son, I did the best I could with what I had. Mm. I did the best I could with what I had. Having a father who's a recovering drug addict. And with me being abused and molested at a young age when he was coming out of rehab, and this is why I walked out of class that night, because Tony told me that I had to accept the fact that he did the best he could with what he had. Mm. But I totally get that now. There is no blame. I don't get to blame him for what happened to me. And that's a hard pill to swallow. I don't get to blame my parents for what happened to me. They did the best they could with what they had. Jobs, drugs, whatever. The best they could with what they had. That's difficult. That's hard. We can talk about it. I was there. It was a hard pill for me to swallow. But at the end of the day, it was just a decision to accept that they did the best they could with what they had.
Okay, we're going to open it up for Q&A. Start your Q&A right there. Shannon Wisely. Why? And I just want to say this. Shannon Wisely understands that nobody was at fault for her life but her. And the people in her life she blamed loved the hell out of her, whether she wanted to accept that reality or not. Many of you are blaming people.
Look at MOD.
I'm
ready. I saw your hand.
Blaming people. Yeah, she is ready. She is like, so MOD, we're going to open up the floor to you. And I'm out of it. Shannon will respond to you. I just wanted to start it there because that was so powerful and liberating. She gave any who will listen and who did listen power to let go of what's holding them back. Emily, you have the floor.
So I can understand not blaming other people and taking accountability. But that's it. Everything else doesn't mean they love you. And yeah, their best is not good enough for me. That's okay. That's right. Fair to say, right?
That their best is not good enough for you?
For me, yes. Like, I don't want their best around me because their best is making me a bad person or something. Kind of. Yeah. Does that make sense?
That, to me, it does.
Yeah, and you're that's fair to that say.
You don't. That's fine that they did the best they could with what they had, but their best is still not good for your environment, for your. And so it needs to be, if you're making the conscious decision to move yourself away from their best, that's perfectly fine.
Oh, okay, so it's in me not moving away and blaming.
So this, here's the thing, and this is what helped me. It's after we reach a certain age. With me, my abuse happened when I was 8. And so if at that age, no, I can't in thought, practice, or anything move beyond anything. But as I grew older, and Tony uses the age of about 14, and that could be scientific somewhere he got it from. He reads so much. But once we hit 14 and we get to a level of thought where we can think differently and where we can make decisions, and we understand blame and we understand things, you don't get to say that a person is a horrible person because of something that they did, or that you can even call them a horrible person, but you can't say that because that happened to me, I'm gonna be in poverty at the age of 28. Because from the age of 14 to 28, I was in control. For the most part. I mean, you know, I was still in their house, whatever. Or once you hit even adulthood, like right now at the age of 38, if I decide I want to go start snorting crack cocaine and become an alcoholic, I do not get to say that it was because of my dad. I can't do that. That's what I mean. I have to accept the fact that he did the best he could with what he has, and he holds no blame for where my life is today. That's a hard pill to swallow, but removing yourself from somebody, not being a part of something because it's the effect that it has on you, that is you taking responsibility for your life. And so you can say you have too much going on with you, you need to stay over there and I need to stay over here. I accept the fact that you did the best that you could, your best was not good enough for me, so I'm moving on. That's perfectly fine. That's not blaming them. That's you being responsible and saying, I gotta go. But if you choose to stay, I was in an abusive relationship for a few years. I chose to keep going back. I don't get to blame him for his abuse. The world would, society would pour out with empathy and sympathy for me, and he would be the scum of the earth. But if he's scum, so am I. Mm. And that's hard. Yes, that is difficult. And I was you. I rolled my eyes on the top of my head. I wanted him. Tempest had to come outside with us because I wanted him to stop talking to me. I didn't want to hear anything he had to say. And if she wouldn't have been standing right there, it would have been like, bye. You know, I would have got in my car, slammed the door. But, you know, Tempest is like God or something. So I couldn't do that with her standing right there looking all sweet. But I could not swallow. It took me a while to swallow this because I was like, that's not fair. You know, that's not, but it, first of all, what is fair? Second of all, like I said, if I'm going to call anybody scum for where I am in my life today, then I am scum too. Mm. Or I can accept that they did the best they could with what they had and move on with my life and away from them if need be.
I also had a question about, you said always make connections. Are you talking about people connections or idea connections?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I put a post up yesterday or wherever about learning. Like I can sit down and watch a cartoon with my son and an idea will pop up because I'm watching it not with, oh my God, this is so boring. I'll be glad when it's over. I am open to everything. You know, you have some people who are selective learners. Like if Oprah ain't talking, I ain't taking notes. You know what I'm saying? However, with me, Patrick and SpongeBob could be having a conversation and I'll take out a notepad. No. I'm no respecter of person when it comes to learning, when it comes to receiving new information. And so it can be an idea connection or a people connection. There are some places where you can't connect with people because they are ignorant. And it's like, you know what? I can't. But you can connect with the idea of helping them in their ignorance. When I realize my awareness is higher than the people that I'm around, then that's when I have to become positive and humble myself and say, how can I help? How can I yield to where they are and help either lift them up or not make them feel bad for them being in a lower level of awareness than me? And that takes a lot of work. But ideas or people, just make a connection wherever you are, try to.
One more question. So when you, is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You said be kind. So how did you actually get rid of that resentment for losers?
I, it's hard, I'm gonna tell you. I asked for, and I'm currently still kind of in that process. Some people were easier. As you go higher in awareness and you realize you have to extend this grace to everyone, it does get more difficult. But there's a question that Tony asked, and he asked before to be the least offended person on earth. And so after he asked that, he got offended a lot. And so what you kind of have to do is set in your mind and ask for that person to be forgiven and to be set before you and ask, this is what I did. I asked that they not leave my presence and not leave my person until I have been genuinely kind to them. Not Shannon kind, not nice, nasty kind. And there are literally some people, I asked this like maybe 2 years ago, some people are still in my face and it feels like it's ripping skin off of me because I haven't mastered it yet. Because resentment goes deep. It goes really deep, but you can't go higher or further until you release it.
So it resentment, what's the difference between resentment and anger? It's the same thing, right?
I do believe that they are cousins. I guess resentment, I think that I can resent someone. I think that they're the same, LOD, now that I'm thinking about it, because when I think about the things that I resent and I see those people in my mind, I feel anger. So I think that they are the same. However, anger is, has more emotion to it, maybe. And I don't know, Tony, you can chime in if you like, but I feel like they are the same, because anybody or any situation that I resent, it either makes me sad or angry. Yeah. Some of them makes me sad. I'm not angry. I was just really hurt. And so I get sad. But what I've encountered this week is that even when we get sad and when we resent, that's coming from whatever that person is or whatever that situation is. It's knocking against the core, your core being, like the core of who you are. And I think that's why it's so heavy sometimes. And so we have to control that emotion, and we have to control that anger and that sadness with our thoughts. And I'm sure you've heard Tony before say, anything we can account for, we can control. And so there are people that I know when I see them, I know how it's going to make me feel. So I control it by pouring positive thoughts into myself before I have to encounter them, and pouring positive thoughts about them. And that's the harder part. And once I do that, it does get a little easier. And the resentment, it's getting better. It's getting better. I can honestly say that. And I don't have any new resentments. Since I started this work on myself about 3 years ago, I don't have anybody new that I resent. I'm just still working on the muck of all the old stuff, you know? So, yes, to answer your question, I don't believe that there's a big difference between resentment and anger, but there may be like a little line, but they're basically the same in my opinion. All right, does anybody else have a question or a comment or anything like that? Tony would have to.
I'm so sorry.
Oh no, wait, MOD, come on, girl.
I just wanted to say, you need to go live more. You need to go live more.
Don't say that to me.
Tell her. Yes. Tell her why I'm on the
phone. Like, Wait a minute. I loved you. Loved your status.
Wait a minute. Yes. Say it again, MOD, so we can be recorded for hundreds of thousands of listeners to hear on the podcast. That me and
Shannon needs to go live more. Like, this is great stuff.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. I received that. And I'm inspired by you. So I'm gonna wait until we're done with our 21 days. And then I'm gonna be really real. And then I'll do something. We'll talk. You can help me.
So in good
thank you so much.
In good transition form, I'll be your transition here, Shannon. To get the heat off of you for going live more, I'll be your good transition. Shannon is a powerhouse. There is no one more effective at reaching a person's heart past their arrogance than Shannon Clark. I'm telling you right now that this world is far darker when Shannon is not talking. And I mean that, and hopefully all of you see and hear that now. Is there any, we got Grace. Grace put her hand up. So let me get to Grace. Yeah. So I'm unmuting Grace, unless you already, okay, I'm unmuting Grace, right? Nope, Grace, I got unmuted you right now. Oh, she even cut her video. Oh, Grace is ready. Wait a minute.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Are you at Parkland, Grace?
She is at her house.
Thank you. Parkland. Can you tell it, please?
Girl, that looked like the hood. That looked like Parkland with them steps and that brown behind you. Okay.
He's crazy. He's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I just got sent yesterday. Yeah. Hello, go ahead, Grace.
Thank you for muting yourself. Look, listen. Always, Brian. Always, always, always. You do an amazing job. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. And I remember, you know, I talked a lot about my Damascus moment.
Mm-hmm.
A friend, my friend who spoke today, and our mastermind leader was in a little town of Edna, Texas. And my two friends told me about myself and knocked the scales off my eyes. But at the time, I was ready to receive, and I am still appreciative of you getting me on my journey to get out of my mediocre state.
Oh, yeah. You've done amazing, too.
Thank you so much. And
you earned that line name now. Did they call you amazing something?
No, that wasn't my line name, but people did.
But they called you that.
Yeah, they did. Okay. And
No. At the Les Brown Institute, they call her Amazing Grace.
Okay, well, see?
Okay.
You earned that, girl.
And I'm forever appreciative of that moment up until this point. Every time you speak, I gotta listen because you're gonna give me some points. You're gonna hit me in the face, but you're gonna give me some points. And I am very grateful that, as always, that I say that you have been my friend for 30 years and have continued to be my friend. So, again, great job. Love you. And I gotta go to rehearsal.
Thank you. Go practice.
Yes, Lord.
All right. Okay, anyone else? We have lots of people here, and we are gracious for all of you. Who else wants?
My mama knocking on the door asking, how does she talk?
Okay, tell your mama I'm finna unmute her, and she will most certainly talk. Okay, she's unmuted. Miss Mama, you are unmuted.
Okay, you can talk now.
Oh, I can talk now.
Okay. Mute your mic, Shannon, next to you.
She out.
Okay.
Hi, Shannon. This is Sharon, your mother. And I just felt that this whole evening, were on top of your notes, you must have said mother. And everything you talked about was mother. Because everything you talked about was me. I didn't realize until I listened to you today that even at 59, you can be in a mediocre state. You know, and in some of my endeavors, I feel that I am mediocre. And you always tell me in your own little ways, you give me tidbits sometime, mother. What you say into existence is what will happen. And that has been almost my post-it note for my life, because you know I'm always speaking things into existence that are not always positive. But listening to you tonight, I have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages of notes. And then we're going to have a private session after we get off of this podcast thing, honey. And we're going to talk, because you are going to help me become this this better person. And I'm just excited to listen to you. I'm excited to get nuggets from you that are going to help me with all so many different aspects of my life, finances, weight, everything. And I just can't wait for this journey that you're supposed to have with me. And I thank you and your little group, all y'all. Hi, how y'all doing? I love all of y'all. Y'all sweet, and y'all take care of my baby. So that's all I really wanted to say. And I love you, and you are such a powerful woman, girl. Anyway, that's all. I'm going to go off now, so you can mute me, Mr. Tony. Or I can mute myself. Bye.
Hold on, I'm unmuting everybody real quick, God dog, and we finna go ahead.
Yeah,
come on. Come on, y'all make some noise in this place.
Let me cry. Hey, Shannon.
Yes, we are going to celebrate. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Can we get this? Come on, come on, good. Limbo celebration, please. In this place.
Thanks, Shannon. Just got her a coaching client.
Yes.
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 Okay. I'm gonna mute everybody. Hold on. My goodness.
Hey, Shannon.
Okay, so Michelle is obviously next. Wait a minute. Before you go, Michelle, let me let Shannon respond.
You hear me?
Wait, I thought, okay, I muted. Yeah,
yes, Michelle, I can hear you. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. Okay, that's her response. Okay, go ahead, Michelle. You go respond when Michelle.
Oh, no, I love her all day long. That's my little coaching client at home.
Okay, so hold on. Let me stop right quick. Let me stop.
I love her.
Hold on. I know y'all can see Shannon. Let me tell y'all something. Shannon mama, finer than Shannon, y'all. Let me just tell y'all
right now.
Go ahead and tell y'all right now. I know y'all, I understand, but Shannon get it from her mama. I'm just telling y'all right now. Okay,
Michelle,
now
what do you have to say, Michelle? Unmute yourself. Michelle.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
I'm like, can you hear me? I felt like the commercial. Shannon. I heard bits and pieces. You know, my house is chaotic with a 2-year-old running around right now.
I know.
But I am blinded by your shining so bright. I'm blinded by your beauty. I'm blinded by your soul. And I can't wait till later on to go back and listen to that podcast. I got bits and pieces of it. You were wonderful. I am your number one fan, and I am so proud of you.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you, too. I finally got it out without the baby crying. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yay.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Next. If there be.
Who's yes, that? There is.
What's up, my brother?
What's up, sis? What's going on? First, let me say, dynamic job. You always know how to deliver in a manner to where even a kid can understand. So that was dynamic job. Next, I want to say, can you open up? Because you said we live our life according to other people's expectation because we don't have expectations of ourselves. Can you open that up and give a few examples how we live our life according to other people's expectation without the acknowledgement of our own?
Right. I sure can. And thank you so much. I appreciate you. So in my life, as I became older, and I don't even have to go back to my childhood days, I can go back to 25. Just realizing that I had greatness in me, but being afraid of where it would take me and not having anybody around me that knew how to require it to come out, it was easier for me to please other people than to please myself because I was unsure if I would fulfill the greatness that I knew I had in me. But I knew I could go to college. I knew I could get a degree. I knew I could get a job teaching. I knew I could get a master's. I knew that I could do what would please people in just the limiting beliefs of what success is. You know, you go to school, you graduate, you go to college, you graduate, you get a job. As long as you're doing that, then you're successful. But I always knew I had more than that in me. But it was easier and more comfortable to live according to what was normal, to live according to those normal expectations. And because I did that, I didn't pour into myself enough to fully flesh out everything that I knew I had in me. I'm just now doing that at 37, 38 years old, which in my studies is the norm. By 40 is when people actually just kind of start fleshing out their dreams and living their dreams. However, that dream has been in me since I was 18. At 18, I was having dreams of myself standing on a stage holding a book that I wrote, talking to mass amounts of people. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a pediatrician. And that's what I did for one semester and realized that biology was not supposed to be my major. So I came home and did what was easy. I majored in psychology. I got a teaching degree. I taught, got my master's in counseling because I enjoy helping people. And it actually is feeding me into my dream. Decisions that I thought were decisions of comfort still ended up being good decisions for me. However, I don't think that happens for most. So, but I just, it was easier for me to fulfill mediocre expectations than it was for me to flesh out my abundant ones. So I hope I answered your question. And if I didn't, ask me another one and we'll get to the answer.
No, that was dynamic. You definitely answered my question. Okay. I really appreciate that. Yes, you did a great job. I really thank you so much.
Thank you. Next. Anybody?
All right. Well, we're going to make it be Tempest next. Because the universe is saying Tempest has power.
Of course.
Talking next. Tempest, you have the floor.
Hi, sister. Thank you for being Shannon, and thank you for this topic, because I give everybody mediocre Tempest because people are impressed by it. So I tell myself, if you cool with me giving partial, then I don't need to play full out. So, one, thank you for slapping me in the face, because I've been wondering, okay, well, what would happen to my life and what would happen to the lives of the people connected to me if I did 50% or if I did 80%, or what would happen if I gave everything in me? So I think this came right on time for me, because I needed to be reminded that it's okay to be 100% all the time. I don't have to hide behind what impresses people, because I'm not impressing myself. I'm actually limiting myself, and that's becoming painful to deal with. So thank you for sharing. I'm very proud of you. If your mom is still on, hi, Mama Sharon. Thank you for joining us. Your daughter is amazing, and so are you. But thank you for sharing, because I know people say that was for me, but no, that was literally the universe saying, knock, knock, Tempest, here's the answer that you've been looking for. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And it's funny that you should mention the giving of 100%. I don't know about you or anybody else listening, but what I noticed is when I give people 100% of who I am, like right now, it's rejected by the people who loved me at 20%, you know? And I know it's probably because it just takes some getting used to. I don't think that they love me any less. I don't think that they are feeling any kind of negative way. I just think that it's like, you're not her and we want her. But 100%, this is me. And I know given time, I'll serve them better at the 100%. But it's just like, ew, we don't like you at 100%. So thank you for bringing that up, because that's something that I've been, which what prompted me to do this call, this topic, because sometimes you can be tempted, well, let me scale back a little bit because I need some of that gratification. I need some of that back scratching. I need some of that comfort I used to have with everybody being satisfied with my 20%. Now everybody's satisfaction isn't there at 100%, but mine is. You know, and so it's like, it's hard. It is hard. And so thank you for, that was very encouraging. All of you have been very encouraging with your questions and your input and your accolades and all of it. It is so necessary for all of us. So thank you. I love you, Tempest.
Okay, I think she's muted, but I'm sure, hold on, let me unmute her. Unmute yourself and say, there you go. Say love you back or whatever.
I love you too. She already know. Gosh.
Well, it was just awkward being out there. All right. Okay.
It wasn't awkward for her. She knew.
I did.
Well, me and Mama Sharon wanted you to hear and say we love you, Tempest. Sharon. I mean, Sharon.
She's cracking up. She said she love you too, Tempest. She in the kitchen cracking up.
Okay, who?
Hey, Mama Sharon, I love you too. Bye, Tony.
I'm just saying, though. I'm just 59 and holding boo boo. That's all I'm saying. Husband got it right. Okay, anywho, who is next? Who is next? Anyone next? No? Mm-mm.
Thank you for joining, Vince. Glad to have you come back. We're here every Tuesday.
Now, Vince is a powerhouse. I'm looking forward to hearing from him pretty soon. He is a...
I'm a little intimidated, Antonio. After last week, and I'm just stepping in the background and listening on this one. I don't know what I can do with this.
Come on. Know,
that's Shannon. That's the ATS Cup team is far greater than the leader. I promise you that.
This is the A team. I kind of a long time. I don't know why you and brother Brian said Vince needs to join this call. Y'all should have started me in a little easier than this.
These doggo ladies of the ATS JR companies, they are out for transformation and they are taking no prisoners. I promise you. I promise you. Vince just joined the Institute maybe a week ago, y'all. He is a
Welcome. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Bryant talked to him for a good month and answered all his questions.
Yeah. He's a super dynamic dude. Yeah, don't let him fool y'all. He's a psychologist, so yeah,
he's
very powerful, very, very powerful. He's doing success. He went and started his own page. He got the Vince Anderson page going, so y'all go like his page.
He's a good looking brother. I saw
Yes, he is doing great things. Sure. Mighty man.
He's a good looking chocolate brother. I saw him.
Yeah, you know, us bald head people, we here right now.
Yeah, I saw him. Looking all chocolatey. Idris Elba.
Let me pray for you.
Okay, so even your mama boo boo understands the power of a chocolate man. Don't get me started.
She is cracking up in the
I'm just saying. Okay, well I think that's about it, because I'm obviously I'm uncouthed right now. I don't know what's going on. Shannon, would you like to close us out, ma'am?
Of course. Once again, I just want to thank you all for joining us on tonight.
MOD, did you change clothes? What's going on here?
Get out that girl business.
I just see live on video. She got different clothes, though. You know, baby, mess up the whole ending. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister Clark. Please. Change your clothes.
I want to say thank you. I have thoroughly enjoyed this call on tonight. This is getting better and better and better every week. And I want to thank, first of all, Tony and Tempest for their vision. I want to thank all of my mastermind group. I want to send love, light, and positive energy to Deanna, who couldn't be with us tonight because she's living her dreams, and I'm so proud of her. And I want to just let you know that you can have whatever you want. You have to be focused, give it the work, energy, and effort, and only then will you believe that you deserve it. The reason why you don't have it now is because you don't believe you deserve it, because you're too busy being mediocre. Get out of your mediocrity, get focused, and get to work, and you will have everything you want. You can plan better. You can dominate. Good night.
Ain't nobody gonna say nothing after that. Good night, y'all.
God. Bye, y'all.